What's up, Darren?
What up? What up? What up? What up? What's going on?
Well, there's another mass shooter. I don't know if
Okay.
you heard about
Yeah,
that.
what, in Minneapolis? Yeah. I saw another video of a kid who whose mom went on the news talking because he threw a glass bottle or something at an ICE van in some part of LA. And she was like, well, he's going to college and now this is gonna ruin his life. He's been working for FedEx for a few years. And then she started talking crazy about ICE. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you know they're gonna play this in court,
Yeah.
right? You may have just made it worse for this dude, like for your own son.
Yeah.
Your Trump derangement is gonna cost him his freedom. Stupid.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, is that Trump derangement makes everything worse.
Indeed. Indeed.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Colorado Show, your midweek lunch break here in the Centennial State.
Yeah.
We call ourselves the most serious news show in the Centennial State because we're lying when we say
Yeah, and clap for
that. Get out there and cry.
Get out there and clap.
It's been a week. We started going into the special session on Colorado Free Press, we did kind of a study group. Here's different ways that the government can cut spending to address the $1.2 billion issue with the budget. And they didn't do that. And didn't cut any spending. We're gonna get into it and probably get
Side
mad.
note, just to let you know, we're having trouble streaming to one destination.
I see that. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I could look. I did set it up, but
Oh, this is Getter. Yeah.
yeah, it's the Getter one. It looks like everything is normal, and it says on Getter's side that it's connected, but unfortunately, I think they're playing another show over there, so we might have gotten our wires crossed. Apologies to our Getter audience, and apologies to whoever show that is, because you have a Colorado Free Press or a Colorado Show thumbnail on your
Yeah, that
show.
ain't I'm sure they won't be too pleased with that. But hey, it is what it is.
Man. All right. Well, before we get into the special session and then the other ridiculous news happening, we're going to hear from a couple of our favorite sponsors. We will be right back.
Yep.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals, and we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
But then they're sitting eating their dog food, and the family sits down and gets lasagna, and they're like, "What is that?" And they have this sense like, actually, maybe what I'm eating is shit. Maybe they're getting the good stuff, but you don't really know. And that's why you don't feed dogs on the table, because the second you do, they're done. They're like, really? Beef eyes? I don't think so. I'm not eating that shit anymore, because they know better. And that's what Zen is. Like, the second you have it, you're like, what? Are you serious? I put that shit in my mouth. And you're mad, obviously, at the people who did it to you, but also at yourself for like settling for that, for settling.
Because we're not actually dogs.
No, we're not dogs. And like, why would I be eating beef anus when I can eat lasagna?
Well, that's graphic, isn't it?
Ain't it though? Ain't it
Just,
though? It is.
yeah.
Yes. Shout out to Tucker, I think.
I think.
I have that one too somewhere. Anyway.
All right. So last week, looking for my article here, we kicked off the special session here in Colorado. Zoom in on this. And it was fun because President Trump tweeted the morning, like as they were gaveling into the session, President Trump posted on Truth Social. He said, "Free Tina Peters, a brave and innocent patriot who has been tortured by crooked Colorado politicians, including the big mail-in ballot supporting governor of the state. Let Tina Peters out of jail right now. She did nothing wrong except catching the Democrats cheat in the election. She's an old woman and very sick. If she is not released, I am going to take harsh measures." Now, there was a lot of pushback from Colorado folks and from, you know, big Tina Peters supporters when this was going around on X last week. And the pushback was, why now? Why has it taken him so long to post this now? And so just to
the freaking president.
Well, hang on a second. So to be clear, Donald Trump has posted about Tina Peters before. This isn't the first time that he's posted about freeing Tina Peters. But the timing of this post was very intentional, in my opinion, because it was dropped at the time that they're kicking off their special session to deal with the budget, and using their own words, right? The Democrats have been screaming from the rooftops in Colorado all week that President Trump and the MAGA Republicans are trying to destroy our state by creating H.R. 1 created this horrible, massive, no good, very bad budget hole in Colorado. So President Trump dropping this post as they're trying to deal with that first set of cuts and saying, "I am going to take harsh measures." Well, the only harsh measures he can really take when it comes to Tina Peters and is money. Yeah. And so it was very intentional. It was perfect timing, in my opinion. Went right over the heads of a lot of people that are reactive and run by their emotions. But I thought it was fantastic. And This is where we started. And then in this article, I just reminded everybody that the Secretary of State's office, the primary entity responsible for what happened to Tina Peters' office, the prosecution was done by Mesa County, the DA, and then the AG's office was involved. They had some federal, DOJ and FBI entities involved, at least in the investigation, I believe. But the real driver in the executive branch of the persecution of Tina Peters was the Secretary of State office. And in March of this year, we suddenly learned, no fanfare, no announcement, no anything. We learned because I believe it was Becky, a friend of mine who lives out here in Parker, posts. She's like, "Hang on a second. Why does it say that the Deputy Secretary of State is Andrew Klein on the masthead of a press release?" And we're all like, "What? Like, what happened to Chris Beall? They didn't announce it. They just swapped him out." Now, Andrew Klein is former Perkins Coie guy. It's Perkins Coie up until the moment that he took over, again, unceremoniously as the Deputy Secretary of State in Colorado. And what's, you know, interesting about the timing is that March of 2025, when that change happened, is also when President Trump dropped this executive order addressing risks from Perkins Coie LLP. And they did not make a deal with Perkins Coie, right? You know, you saw like Paul Weiss and other law firms. There were a few of them that made deals with the Trump administration for, you know, non-prosecution agreements, basically. I don't know if that's the appropriate term, but it was, you know, we'll do some free legal work and promise not to use DEI in our hiring and in our case selection, et cetera, if you don't come after us. A lot of law firms made that deal. Perkins Coie did not. And this is the battlefield. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, March 2025, that drops. And then all of a sudden, you know, top Perkins Coie guy is the Deputy Secretary of State of Colorado. And we know that there is a weaponization of government investigation happening, federal weaponization of government happening about Colorado and specifically what they did to Tina Peters. So I think the post was perfect. I think President Trump is applying pressure in the ways that he can. And in, it's pretty excellent in my opinion. What do you think?
I think that I've been saying she should have been let out a long time ago.
Like, yeah. She never could have been put in jail. It was for a lie. It was for a misrepresentation of credentials. And in fact, the misrepresentation to government officials, that's the felonies that she was convicted of. And it's the one misrepresentation to multiple people. And they gave her 9 years for it. And that's unprecedented for a public official, for an elected official who had the intent and was able to tell the story of why she did what she did, but she wasn't allowed to tell the story in court. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Right. Yeah. Well.
So the special session kicked off on Tuesday of last week, and I want to just show you the volume of what they were attempting to cover. Make this bigger. So there was House bills and Senate bills. Add deductions back in, corporate income tax for foreign jurisdictions, that one passed. Insurance premium tax rate for home offices. This is going to drive businesses out of the state, in my opinion. Sale of tax credits, eliminate state sales tax. What's that?
I said, Jesus Christ, man. These people, it's ridiculous. Like,
it's all for, it's all about getting more money. It's not about cutting at all. They didn't cut at all.
Do they not realize who's in the White House? So let's just say, for instance, like, Trump says, okay, we're cutting off Colorado, we're cutting off, you know, Illinois, blah, 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 right? So now the citizenry of these states have to foot the bill for whatever, the, you know, there's whatever the oligarchs' shortcomings are, right? So at which point, you know, businesses are like, we're done. So when you lose businesses, you lose money. You lose food, you lose everything. So what's the end game here? Like is nobody communism. Like thinking about, wow, how's this gonna look 4 years down the road? Like who are these people sitting at a round table and just coming up with this ridiculous master plan? Like, we know this hasn't worked before, but by golly, we're gonna try it again.
Yeah, it's so totally super duper gonna work now. Yeah, like, we just didn't have the right systems. See, if we just put the right systems in place, if we just put the right systems in place and you guys give us more money, then we can give you a utopia.
What are these systems? Like, I watched Brandon Johnson of Chicago. This was the funniest thing in the world. Joe Scarborough asked him, like, okay, we understand, like, the programs and all that you want to have implemented. Why's the dog barking? Is there something at my door?
Not my dog.
All right, let me go see what's going on. Hold on.
All right, while he's doing that, we're going to look at some of these bills, because what you will notice, America, is that they are most entirely focused on generating revenue, not cutting spending, which is the real problem. Eliminate state sales tax vendor fee, improve affordability, private health insurance affordability for board appointments. Consumer protections for AI interactions. This is a really interesting one. We're going to spend some more time on that. And the artificial intelligence systems bill. Continuity of care for impacted communities. Health providers practice scope preventative care. Prescription drug benefit information transparency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then you go down here. You've got the Senate bills. There's about 30 bills. And this was before the session even started. These are the bills that were greenlit to go into the special session. And, you know, as we say, no focus on cutting spending, just on generating revenue, which brings me to Linda Zamora Wilson, the new senator from district. What district is she from? She is from District 9 down in Colorado Springs. And this is her debut performance as a senator. We had her on the show right after she won her special election. And she said she was going down there to bring sanity and truth. And I definitely think she is doing that. Let's hear what she has to say. It's a little bit of a longer clip, but important for people to really, really understand what the problem is, what the actual solution would be, and what they're doing instead.
19. One party has controlled the House, the Senate, and governorship. And during this time, Colorado has increased in state spending 44%. I'm going to say that again, 44%. Like drunken sailors, I'm going to start handing out eye patches. Taxes, 1%. Fees, which is a tax, increased 15%. Violent crimes, 31%. And regulations have increased such that we're the sixth most regulated state. And this ties into the bill because are just people who don't even have businesses are leaving Colorado. It's becoming, they can't afford it.
Fact.
And businesses, I mean, this whole session is about raising revenue. Our businesses are losing every incentive to stay here. Regulations stifle and choke productivity. You know, it was made a comment and during some of the amendments that the opposition said, well, we can't do that because it would change. It'd be too complicated with the taxes. And it's just easier just to take this away. Well, I would say it's easier if we just start cutting. And that's what we need to do. That is the issue. This has been going
100%
on since 2019. We see the train wreck coming. It's here. And the many bills that we're seeing right now is just kicking the can down. Not only that, but it's going to make matters worse. It's going to drive up costs. This is not the fault of HR1. This is the fault of spending like drunken sailors.
Facts.
And on nothing.
And who's going to pick up the tab for this mistake? It's going to be Coloradans. We're sounding the warning to you. Be prepared that we're going to see this again. I mean, we knew it already in March. Before HR1, we already knew it. There's so much warning that we can do.
She's about to cry.
I've had several friends already move out of the state.
I would posit that she's trying not to swear.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
And I'm here to fight the good fight and help Coloradans and reclaim what they've lost. We need to cut. I urge a no vote on SB, on House Bill 25B1005. This is going to be a disaster, and this is death by a thousand cuts. Thank you.
So, like, when does, you know, this is, I think at this point, they've kind of figured out, like, that man currently in the White House is not to be played with. So, what makes them so comfortable with spending and spending and spending? When there's no guarantee that state funding is headed their way, you know what I mean? Like it's like story time. Okay, so I got a friend, right? Producer, okay, dude. So he's got plaques. He's got two Grammys. Like he's a beast. Okay, we walking down the street one day in New York City. Okay, and this was years ago. So this is back before all the charges, but we walked past Puffy, right? And he's with a couple of bodyguards, okay? Now, my boy is low key. Like he's not like one of those producers like Pharrell or Kanye that you see all over the place, right? But he's got credits. People know who he is. People know who they need to know, right? He's one of those guys. So Puff passes us, with bodyguards and all that, stops in his tracks and turns around and is like, yo, man, I need some beats, man. Where you been? Da-da-da-da-da, right? He's like, we need to work together. And I'm looking at my boy like, for real? Like, shoot, like, you know Puff? That's right.
Let's go.
I'm in shock. Me and him just going to get pizza. So he says, so after the whole, you know, interaction was done, he says to me, I'm like, yo, bro. I was like, bro, you about to do something for Puff? This is crazy. He said, let me tell you something, man. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. He's like, until it's in my hand, it doesn't matter. He said, until that check is in my hand, it does not matter. And so I always go with that because it's like, until that check is in these people's hands, all this stuff that they're planning on doing and spending on this wild shopping spree, this wild authoritarian shopping spree that they're going on, until that check is there, they better start planning differently.
Because yeah, people say a lot of things.
Yeah, it's like, come on, like you guys are anticipating that this money is coming. You don't know that. You don't know that, like, especially the way I've been fucking up. Like, you might not get your allowance.
Yeah.
So that's just the way I see it. Like, they might want to double back and kind of make some better arrangements.
Yeah.
Putting y'all on the hook for all the taxes, all the money y'all pay already in that state. You know, and it's not like they're gonna go get the money from millionaires and billionaires. Absolutely not. I know a few of these people. And let me tell you something. I have one specifically tell me, I'm not giving these people, the government, any more money than I legally have to.
Yeah.
This dude said, like, he's like, if you understood how money goes, like, we buy assets, we buy yachts, we park, realist parking and real estate, all that. He said, I said, oh, interesting. He said, yeah, because you can't get capital gains off of something that I haven't sold.
Yeah, and you know, it's actually a great point. It's going to tee up to the story that we're going to do after the story that we're going to do next, because they're in their attempts to make the, you know, high earners and corporations pay their fair share, they're going to drive businesses out of the state.
Look, let me tell you something. That's not happening. They're not going to give you more money than they legally have to. Okay?
Correct.
They're buying yachts, they're buying art, they're buying gold, they're buying everything to keep that money. Like, I got a dude that told me flat out, he said, and he makes a lot of money, but he said, my salary is $90,000 a year. Everything else.
Yeah, but that's why they're changing the tax code, is to make it so that legally they have to give them more. And we're going to look at some of the ways that they're doing that.
Local tax code?
But yeah, the Colorado tax code. But I want to hit this story first, because this was just this was bizarre to me, and I didn't think I could be surprised by these people any longer. But damn, if they didn't surprise me. So they have this bill. All right, this is coming out of the Colorado Sun. Number two Democrat in the Colorado Senate on Saturday shuffled the members of a key committee in order to try to advance his measure, tweaking Colorado's first in the nation law regarding artificial intelligence, which is set to take effect in February. The bill has been stalled in the Senate Appropriations Committee because it wasn't clear if there were enough votes to pass it onto the Senate floor. So they just swapped out the committee members. Bridges, who is running for state treasurer, was seen as one of the possible no votes. The newly added Democrats on the committee, progressive senators Katie Wallace and Mike Weissman, says that they will vote to advance the measure. And then because of how long it's taking to negotiate the bill, the special session will now run at least through Tuesday unless efforts to change the AI law are abandoned. The special session began on Thursday. So that is just wild to me, that we're now at the point in Colorado where if they don't have the votes to get a bill out of committee, they're just going to swap out the committee members to be able to get the bill through. Like, there's literally no corruption that they won't just embrace wholly with both arms.
Right.
Yeah. We're not surprised.
It's grimy, man. And
it's super grimy.
And then the thing about it is, it's like, typically when you want to go buy something, if you go to the store, let's say you want to go to Walmart and buy a television, right? You look, you're TV shopping, okay? You need something smart, all right?
Yeah.
So you go and you're like, okay, I like this television. I'm going to pay for it and I'm going to walk out with it, right? Now, imagine giving Walmart the money, but not walking out with a television. What did you get? You got nothing. So all the taxes y'all are paying and you're getting nothing. You're not getting safety. You're not getting better schools. You're not getting Larry off the street. So
we're getting some stuff, though. We're getting a bunch of dead wolves.
Oh yeah, by the way, I do need a fur coat. I know they're cheaper in Colorado.
Yeah. We're getting, so we got dead wolves. We got top and bottom surgery and face contouring paid by taxpayers for transgender individuals, not for any gender binary individual that would require those types of services, women that had to have a double mastectomy following breast cancer, not them. Just
face
the
contouring.
So it's like, oh, there was a video.
Is that like makeup?
No, that's not, that is not what I am talking about. Hold for processing, because you have to see this. I know you've seen this, and it's gonna all come rushing back to you.
Don't they call it contouring when they're doing like makeup?
Yes. Like, yes. It's like shading light and shadows on your face is but that is not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, oh come on, where is
Let me guess, they're trimming down jaw lines now.
Let's see. Oh, there was this like series of videos of this trans TikToker that was going through a number of these contouring surgeries, and I am not, I see it was all over my feed at one point, and now I can't find even one of the videos. That's usually how that goes. But it is the it's cosmetic surgery.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that. Okay.
Make your male face look more feminine. And taxpayers pay for that here. That's some
that
of the
insane, you know, man. Like,
I know. I know. Yeah. That, so you said, you know, what are y'all getting? You ain't getting roads, you ain't getting school. No, but we are getting prettier transgender men.
And face contouring. That's crazy.
Yeah. And dead wolves.
And dead wolves.
And what else do we get? More Planned Parenthood funding. We got more. More dead babies. Yeah. More Planned Parenthood funding dead babies. Yep. We got that. So
I thought Planned Parenthood was federally funded. So they got state funding for it?
Well, they got defunded. So they were defunded. And the I think it's Planned Parenthood reimbursements through Medicaid, Medicaid and Medicare.
Right.
That are on the chopping block. And so they found ways to refund that. We're going to get into what they actually did. So let's look at what the governor of Colorado said this morning. First, we're going to read his statement, which is stupid. And then we're going to read what he wrote. So this is his statement. It's not dated, but I think he said this like at the beginning of the session. In Colorado, we want to expand access to healthy food, not rip it away. Remember that one. Remember access to healthy food. HR 1 cruelly threatens to access to healthy food for more than 300,000 families who need SNAP to feed themselves and their loved ones while passing the buck to states. I mean, they're your citizens. If food is unaffordable in your state, that's your fault, but whatever. Taking food off the table for families is not the Colorado way. Today, we are updating the opportunity for voters to stand up for kids and families and ensure that all Coloradans have access to healthy food. I want to thank the bill sponsors and advocates for the important work to get this done and give Colorado voters the chance to make our voices heard on this issue. HR 1 will deny millions of Americans access to health care and threaten thousands of Coloradans access to primary care, including wellness visits, breast cancer screenings, and preventative care, all in the name of a political vendetta. No, it's in the name of you not spending like drunken sailors any longer, Democrat socialists. With this law, Colorado is ensuring Trump.
Democrat socialists is crazy.
Yep. With this law, Colorado is ensuring Trump and congressional Republicans cannot deny Coloradans access to care needed to stay healthy or bankrupt essential health clinics, while congressional Republicans undercut health care providers. The legislature and tireless advocates have shown that in Colorado, we will maintain and expand access to care. I appreciate the hard work of the bill sponsors and the people work hard to pass this bill. So that was what he said before. Now he says, I signed the first bill of the 2025 special legislative session to address the $1 billion budget hole created by Congress. And this is such a misnomer.
The budget created by Congress. Like, dude, you signed the first, you find it.
It's your state budget. Right. Like, we're talking about the state budget, and federal subsidies are not your revenue stream. That's how we got into this mess. And, you know, I'm here for the cuts. SB 25B003, healthy school meals for all.
This is important, Darren.
Very important. Okay, healthy school meals for all, sponsored by Senators Daphna Michelson, Janet Janae, Katie Wallace, and Representatives Lorena Garcia and Katie Stewart. Lorena Garcia has been under fire because apparently her family runs an NGO and is super invested in NGOs. Shocking. So it's not surprising that she would be for this. So let's look at what this bill actually does. Find it. Did I not have it in this one? So the bill on school meals, I thought I had it in this article, is the bill on school meals expands the program. I'm going to actually find it and read it from it for you directly, because I am not going to be able to articulate it well, but it is quite sinister how they are positioning this thing. Healthy meals for all. And it says right here, pull this back in, modifying the permissible uses of the Healthy School Meals for All cash fund. Go down to the final bill text. You'll see. Yeah, modifying the permissible uses of the Healthy School Meals Fund. And it says, the federal budget here in subsection C, the federal budget bill also reduced the funding for community-based outreach and application assistance in connection with SNAP, which play a critical role in helping Coloradans access and retain program benefits. So this is not... it's reducing SNAP. This is, it's reducing the community outreach that helps people get the most out of SNAP. Then we have outreach for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program promotes both equitable access and efficient, accurate administration of the program, helping prevent avoidable payment errors. Subsection E, the federal budget bill also eliminated the nation's only dedicated nutrition education program for households that benefit from the SNAP, ending over $6 million in funding for Colorado for education about nutrition, and eliminating access to programs that are vital for improving food security, dietary quality, and the ability to stretch limited food budgets for 325 Coloradans, including 30,000 families. So basically, where is it? In here, they say that they are going to expand access to the funds to these other programs. Now, these other programs are all run by NGOs. This is like the food education, community-based outreach and support to help people sign up for SNAP and get all of the snappy things that they need. That's NGO money that was cut. It's not money going to kids to eat healthy food. It's not healthy food for all. That is just marketing to say that this bill is going to make food more accessible. It's going to, they'll say Trump is cutting money for kids to eat. Starving children need food, Darren. Starving children aren't going to get food because of the evil HR1, the horrible big beautiful bill that cut food for children. But when it comes to solving that problem in their very super special session, it's actually not about money going for food for kids. It's money going to the NGOs who, as I mentioned at the top, the bill sponsor, one of the bill sponsors, and many other legislators have the same conflict. Their families are in some of these NGOs.
That's how it goes. It's the
only, yeah, it's cousin, a revenue stream for them.
Sister's cousin of the brother down the street from the dad.
And what this bill does is expand the program so that any funding over what they need to feed the kids, so over the stated goal of the you know, healthy meals for all, we need to make sure that everybody has healthy meals. Okay, we're going to provide some funding to make sure that people are getting healthy meals, like funding for food, whether that's in schools. And we do here in Colorado, they passed free school meals for everyone. So the all of the school lunches are free here. Yeah. And they keep saying, well, we can't fund this bill because of HR1. Like, you know, we can't fund school meals. School kids aren't going to be able to eat because of this bill. But the bill that they're passing in response to that with that narrative is a bill that says, hey, if we have too much funding, can we pay our NGOs? That's what's actually happening here, is that it's about the excesses and not having to return the excess funding over and above what it takes to feed the kids. They're just liars. They're just liars.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Oh, and just to let you know, the Minneapolis shooter apparently was trans.
Yeah, that's true. I saw that before we went live.
Antifa strikes again.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that story in just a second, because your intro sound to that reminded me that we have two more sponsors to hear from. Right. So we're going to hear from our next two sponsors and we will be right back.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Psst. Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
And we are back. Well, one of us is back.
Yeah.
Before we talk about the trans shooter, because we're just about done with the special session, I just want to read what Representative DeGraff had to say. So the bills that have gone through right now are about closing tax loopholes and making businesses pay more. They are going to have the net effect of driving business out of our state. Mark my words on that. But Democrats don't care. They just want their money so they can keep funding their boondoggles. Here is what Representative Ken DeGraff, a friend of the show and one of the most base members of the Legislative Assembly, said. Quote, spendthrift summer camp is over. 198,000 more spending to solve none of the shortfall. By the bills pre-approved for SSC, it would have been better not to convene. There was no allowance for cutting excess, just solving excess with more. This was a show. A show to try and pin the overspending on HR1, but not in any way a serious effort to address the budget. Zero, nada, zip. Dems spent $198,000 for a campaign stunt. Bottom line, government was done to you, not for you. More taxes, more spending, more debt, economic health care by bloodletting. In June, pre-HR1, there was a $700 million $1 shortfall. The H.R. 1 federal tax reductions will result in about $700 million more dollars staying in the Colorado economy instead of being sucked into the general fund. Most 75 to 80% of that is ultimately reduced taxes for individuals. Dems changed the tax code to retax tips and overtime and remove the QBI deductions as well as the rebates to vendors for collecting sales tax. They'll still be required to work on behalf of the state, but won't be paid. Dems borrowed $200 million and found $4.5 million in new money to give to Planned Parenthood for violating the Hyde Amendment. No federal funds for feticide other than for life of the mother, rape, or incest. While Planned Parenthood's feticide centers are urban, H.R. 1 puts billions into rural health that have become maternal care deserts. No GSOs, NGOs, and MPOs were considered for cuts, nor the governor's green grift. Children's health care was regularly cited for cuts. So from the guy in the room, there's the summary. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's not surprising, but it is not surprising. It is, to be facing $1.2 billion shortfall and come in with a plan, well, we're not going to cut anything. We're just going to figure out how to tax people more when we're already so taxed.
Yeah.
Overtaxed.
I remember Mayor Brandon Johnson in Chicago saying that they weren't going to raise taxes. J.B. Pritzker said the same thing. Kathy Hochul said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about to get real.
But if you call a tax a fee, it's not a tax anymore, apparently.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
It's fees. They're, you know, and then you got.
Just like, pay your fair share, Darren.
Man, look, my goal is to keep as much bread in my pocket as possible, as legally possible. And quite frankly, I hope to God that Ron DeSantis gets rid of property taxes in the state of Florida. If that happens, I'm going to personally pay for a statue of him to go in your state.
Yeah, it's getting wild. I am really surprised that they couldn't find anything to cut. It's like they think that every single fever dream that they have executed during the Biden days of just, you know, unfettered expansion of the Democrat Socialist for America agenda and viewpoint. They added so much spending during the past, you know, six years.
From the start of the pandemic to now.
Yeah, but no, it's also vital. It's all so vital. So we have to keep it all. So we have to tax you guys more. Sorry, fair share. It's bottom surgeries aren't going to pay for themselves. You don't want people to have to get back alley bottom surgery, do you, Darren? With coat hangers?
Oh, okay.
And rusty knives.
Yeah. That sounds painful. I watched the video clip. What's that TV show with the trans kid and the two parents? It's like a reality show.
I don't know.
I forgot the name of it.
Thankfully I've never heard of this show.
No, I just seen clips of it, but it's a kid who's been transitioning since I don't know, like 5 or 6.
While you're looking that up, Chris Cross in the chat says, yet people will still vote them in because of a D next to their name. I can't support the statement because we have no idea how people vote. We have no idea how people vote. We have no idea what public sentiment is because all of those metrics are rigged. The election outcome results are manipulated. The polls are manipulated and consent is largely manufactured in our state. So I don't think that it's out of the question that they would. I say certainly the majority of Denver would vote for these people just because they have a D next to their name, but statewide, absolutely not. We can't. And I say that not because of any election results or any polling, but because I've been to Denver, you know, walked the streets, eaten at the restaurants, been to the courthouse, covered trials, been in one. And Denver is a special, special place. But the rest of the state, people aren't voting for this shit. We just, you know, can't vote yourself out of communism.
Kisco. Yes, that is the show. I Am Jazz, right? So this kid.
Oh, that's okay. I had no idea what that was referring to.
Watch the scene where the doctor is telling Jazz and her and his slash her, whatever the fuck, parents. Their parent, right. That this bottom surgery could go wrong. And if it does go wrong, there's a slight possibility that you could be sliced from your genitals to your balloon knot, and then we have to stitch it up, which is a possible fixer for it.
Yeah.
But because you're walking around, the stitches could tear. And if that happens, call 911. Like, I'm listening to this, like,
yeah.
And the parents are sitting there, so like, yeah, so like, how is this, like, what is the outcome here? Like, what are our options? I'm sitting there like, why is this even a conversation?
I never saw that whole show, but I remember seeing a clip of it where Jazz didn't want to dilate. And her
mom says you're gonna stuff it in there.
Yeah, like it was like a forcing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so there's 100, you know, you were talking about the instructions for the surgery. And if it goes wrong, you could have, you know, this problem or that problem. If you have that surgery, there is 100% certainty that you are destroying your normal sex function.
Yeah, there was one.
There's no question about it.
There was one trans that went to that Candace Owens interviewed one time. And this person said they got no sexual desires. They're just depressed all the time. Like, and I mean, and they spent a lot of money on surgery, top and bottom surgery, the whole nine. That person has a boyfriend and all that and has zero sexual desire, has to dilate on a regular basis. Like, think about the life like that you have to live every day. Like, in order to just be like function in society, like that shit don't sound like something that
yeah. On Alphas Make Sandwiches a few weeks ago, we had that show is Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern for folks. If you don't know, it's kind of a non-retarded version of The View type of show where we go through stuff, group of ladies. But we had a circumcision, anti-circumcision activist on the show, and it was really fascinating. No, for real, like the skin is the nerve endings that are in the skin of the foreskin are, you know, like profound in terms of the number of like nerve endings and stuff that lead to the sexual experience of the penis. So I guess what I'm most surprised by, Darren, is that this is a surprise. Right, that the destruction of normal sex function when you're mutilating the genitalia, that would have like for the female, the skin on your forearm is never going to be the same type of skin tied in biologically into your body the same type of way as, say, a normal penis and the foreskin attached to it. And people are like, no, you can't say that their sexual function is destroyed forever. That's bigoted. No, it's just a fact. It's just a fact that if you get a child, if anybody engages in this surgery, but the reason that this is egregious is because children don't have the age of consent. Right. If they can't consent to sex, they should not be able to consent to their sexual function being destroyed for the rest of their life because of a fad. And it is a fad. I'm not saying that trans people don't exist.
Jazz's parents were sitting there like talking about this like this is a decision they're making for them. And then they pan the camera to Jazz, and Jazz looks mortified like,
yeah.
Like, what am I doing here? Like, it looks crazy. Like, if you ever watch like a Chloe Cole interview and what she's been through, like she had a double mastectomy, the whole nine, had to take testosterone. Her voice is not as light as it used to be. Like, she said doctors told her she might not ever be able to have children. She's a detransitioner. Like, it's crazy to hear these stories. Like, it's sad, man. And it's these doctors tell. First of all, if your parent is gullible enough to believe that,
it's Munchausen by proxy. Munchausen by proxy.
If your parents are that gullible to where a doctor can tell them, well, your son, you could either have a dead, a live daughter or a dead son or some whatever the heck. Like, first of all, you shouldn't be parents. Like, if you are stupid enough to believe that, You know what I mean?
But there's no social consequences for that because they're celebrated. That's why I really do believe a lot of these trans kids are Munchausen by proxy. The parents feel really special. The parents are celebrated.
The parents
are brought into this community and they have, you know, this experience and they're super good parents because they're affirming and the, you know, the community, the trans community and the broader LGBT community and the school community. And in my state, the whole of society comes around these parents and tells them how amazing and how special they are. And that their child, if they don't, you know, destroy their sexual function, sterilize them, mutilate them, psychologically torture them, and often cases, they're, you know, abuse victims as well. If you don't engage in that, then your child might commit suicide. And so this is what this community does. But you know how it's a freaking cult? Because watch what happens to people like Chloe Cole. Watch what happens to detransitioners when they decide that their identity is not actually what they thought it was before. And when we're talking about children.
Yeah.
Whose brains aren't fully formed, who don't have the ability to consent in any other aspect of their lives, where are the parents? Well, the parents are being affirmed. The parents are being affirmed by society that they are the best parents because they're willing to mutilate their children. It's almost like their children are
trophies. It's almost like they're trans children and now they're trophies.
The Munchausen thing, right? Oh, my child is special and needs all of these certain things. And oh my God, you're such a good mom. Like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could, you know, but like, it must be so hard. Oh yeah. It's so hard. Like people look at us weird. Well, we look at you weird because you're fucking mutilating your child. You sick fuck.
Oh no, that deserves a Don DeMarco. Give it up for Ash, everybody. That was amazing. Oh man,
there is nothing virtuous about harming children, and I will die on this fucking hill.
And I sit there and I read some of the comments one time after when I saw like a Chloe Cole clip on Instagram, and I just wanted to scroll down and read the comments. Man, the stuff that they say to this little girl is crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like once you start detransitioning, boy. You become public enemy number one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't want to be a part of this anymore, bitch.
So when they passed that bill for the top and bottom surgery and face contouring, I need to go back and check whether or not it made it in or not, but there was very heated debate over whether or not the services would apply to detransitioners. Meaning if a trans person, you know, decide, because when you make the decision to live authentically in your trans identity, you now have access to a ton of services, a ton of stuff, a ton of support, right? There's all manner of services. But as you said, when you make the decision, actually, this isn't my authentic identity. Actually, you know, I think it is more authentic for me to live in my biological sex. Well, then you become an enemy. But it's not just social shaming and outcasting from the community. It's cutting off access to services. It's cutting off access to healthcare. If you're in the right, the most marginalized group in America right now, I would argue, is the detransitioner, and the empathetic and tolerant people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most empathetic and tolerant people screaming from the rooftop about rights
are
the trans community. They are actually guilty of the worst persecution of the worst minority in America. They are full of shit when they talk about empathy. It's about creating patience for life.
Yep.
It's about creating patience for life. It's about destroying a generation of children, multiple generations at this point of children. And it's about expanding Marxism, power and control, destroying the traditions of our society.
This is my question. Like, what is the purpose? What does chopping Billy's wiener off have to do with Marxism?
like, because Marxism relies upon the destruction of norms and the destruction of the family. And there's no greater way to destroy the family more rapidly, I would argue, than, you know, just saying that men and women don't exist independently of each other. And I've said for a long time, and I stand by it, that I think that the trans kids movement, I'm not saying all trans people, not saying the whole of, you know, this entire you know, existence, this population of trans people, they exist. I've known a lot of trans people, loved as part of my community, a lot of trans people in my life. Not talking about trans people. I'm talking specifically about the trans kids movement, where we're teaching this ideology to children. And then, for example, in the Smotherman case, which happened down in Durango, Colorado, you know, sort of groom vulnerable children. In the case of Smotherman, a child right. whose mother was fighting cancer and who was going through some kind of autism and ADHD struggles and diagnoses at the time. Teacher comes in, oh, you know, maybe you're in the wrong body. And the next thing you know, the kid is living with the teacher and identifies as the opposite sex. That is the trans kid movement. It's intended to make more trans people. And that, in my opinion, is Baphomet worship. I really believe it is a Luciferian subversive movement to destroy society. And, you know, Marxism is just Lucifer's political ideology.
Here's a question I have, though. Do you think that all these people that are, you know, these trans advocates, whether it be these teachers and these spokespeople or whatever, or these blue or these pink haired doctors, do you think these, well, maybe the doctors know, but do you think the average individual that advocates for transgenderism and for children actually understands? Is there like a whole coalition where they all get on Zoom and be like, in order for us to do this, it's like 1,000 of them, like, or do you think they just kind of just like, they just want to be, they're just bandwagon riders. Like,
yeah, well, I think it's both. I think that there are, I'm going to go, I haven't gone, you know, thought too deeply about this. So this is off the top of my head. I would say there's three groups. There is the W path, you know, kind of the trans lobby and set of expert organizations that put out the guidelines about this community. It's where you see the American Medical Association or American Pediatric Association get their information from. There is an expert class that is coordinating at that level. Then you have, I think, the mentally ill parent and advocate groups, people that are fully bought in to this ideology. And this is where I would place the Munchausen by proxy parents, right? The, you know, it's just so important that I keep my social status because of the status of my child. And then I think you have a lot of kind of, you know, non-thinking reactive people that buy
today. Okay.
They buy the empathy play, right? Well, I wouldn't be trans, but I'm not going to shame anybody else that's trans. And we all just need to live and let live. And I agree with that sentiment. I'm not going to shame somebody for their identity. I'm not going to go out and, you know, attack people in public if they have an identity that, you know, somehow bothers me or I feel uncomfortable with or any of that. The line is when you fuck with kids. When you come for kids and you're trying to destroy children, I will come at you with everything that I have, because our most important societal mandate is to protect the children. And it's become inverted. And, you know, I think a lot of that is through weaponized empathy. People are like, well, you know, it's the parent's choice. Well, in any other domain, if we found that a parent had Munchausen by proxy and was harming their child, we would take that child away from the parent.
Exactly.
But not in this case. Yeah. So that's good on that. I think we'll end with Snoop. So let's hear Snoop's kind of, you know, subtly backing us up here. Let's hear what he has to say.
I took my grandson to see what was the movie with Buzz Lightyear?
Toy Story?
Not that one, but
the new Buzz. The Lightyear. I think it's called Lightyear.
Yeah, Kiki Palmer's in that movie.
Okay, okay.
She plays like the daughter. So we watching it, and the lady, which is Kiki's mama, they move on into the space years. They move down the line. They're like, man, she had a baby with a woman. Well, my grandson in the middle of the movie, like, Papa Snoop, how she have a baby with a woman? She a woman. Oh, shit. I didn't come in for this shit. I just came and watched the goddamn movie. Hey, man, watch the movie. They just said she and she had a baby. They both women. How did she have a baby? Shh. The movie ain't over with. So it's like, it's fuck me. I'm scared to go to the movies now. Like, y'all throwing me in the middle of shit that I don't have an answer for. I took my...
if you watch it further, he's like, I just came here to take a nap.
Yeah, well, it is overwhelming that you cannot go to a children's movie without being groomed these days.
When you have a guy who said, bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks, and you confuse him, it's pretty much a problem at that point.
Yeah, man. It's a wild, wild world out there.
You've confused Mr. Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
Watch the movie.
Right, right. No, and they say, explain this to me.
Oh, man. Well, that is the show that we have for you guys today. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we'll be back next week, Wednesday at noon for your midweek lunch break.
Yep.
With all of the nonsense we can fit into an hour of this show, because we could probably talk about Colorado nonsense for several hours.
I don't even live there.
But we both have shit to do.
And I can talk about it.
Yeah. All right, ma'am. Well, please hit the like button wherever you're watching us. We certainly do appreciate it. And follow Colorado Free Press for all the stories we covered and more. And we're going to get out of here.
Peace.
Bye, guys.